Sister Linda, if I could sing. I would say, where I am, you brought me. What I know, you taught me. Doesn't matter, I don't know all of it, but it says, doesn't matter whatever else comes, Lord, you brought me. What I guess what I'm saying is that where I am, I didn't bring myself. What I have, I didn't accumulate it myself. God, you brought me where I am. And if I know anything, you taught. And then I think it says, all that I am, you made. I'm there because I'm where I am because God done brought me. I didn't bring myself, but I was in such a wicked condition, I thought that I brought myself. And don't you look at me funny. Because if you were to tell the truth, you thought you brought yourself too. Because we said we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps when nobody else would help me. But see, we had an invisible helper that had already made the way. God's an awesome God. And I'm glad that he allowed me to live. Blessing by asking. Blessing by asking. We, as a body of believers, we need to persevere in prayer. I ask myself a question, how do we persevere? And I answered myself, and don't y'all think I'm crazy because I'm answering and talking to myself. How is by asking until I receive. Seeking until we find. Knock until the door of heaven is opened up. And then I turn around and I ask myself another question. Why do we persevere in prayer? And so there's a difference between asking and seeking and knocking. When we ask, when there's a need or a want. We ask when there's someone who has plenty and who can give what we need or want. We seek when we need or want something of value. We seek when we ourselves are responsible for finding what we need or want. We knock when we are shut out and need or want entrance. We knock when there's someone on the other side who can open the door. If you don't ask, and you don't see, and you don't knock, how is God going to know what you're in need of? Well, it's necessary for us to ask, seek, and knock, because it teaches us to communicate and fellowship with God. It teaches us to be patient and to hope in God and in his promises. It teaches us to love God as our Father more and more. It demonstrates how deeply we trust God and how much we love and depend on him. Lord, I'm depending on you to get me where I need to be. To try to get you to see that there's a blessing in asking, we're going to take you to some different places in the Bible with different people. Turn in your Bible, if you can find it, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Most of you probably, when you get there, you're going to know what it's all about because you've heard of the prayer of Jabez. And that's where this is, chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I have him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my course, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And I like these last eight words of this. And it says, and God granted him that which he requested. God's an awesome God. Point number one, bless me. Just two words. Just bless me. At the return of Israel, after the return of the exile, they was there reading through the section of the Judean genealogy, and they would notice many of the people there had some awesome records before God, had left a good example before God for people to see. Like most of a lot of our forefathers have left a great record before us about what they did to accomplish what they accomplished. But if we don't read it, help me, Holy Ghost, it will miss it. Like there's one point that somebody sent me before my computer died. They sent me an email about one of the young men that was a pilot in the 911. One of them was a guy that looked just like me and you. But when they did the documentary of it, you didn't see one of us in there. See, that's why you got to read. You know, say if you want to hide something from people, put it in a book. Or put it on the computer. And don't let it be in an email. Let it be in somewhere they got to read. And so they were reading this and finding out what they had done. One of the great men that set an example for them was a man named Jabez, whose name meant pain. Apparently, his mother had given him this name for, we can come up with a couple of reasons. Brothers, we don't know anything about this. That's the pain that the mother go through when she's giving birth. The pain that she endures, the long hours of torture. I've heard some parents say, if I would have known this joker was going to be this much trouble. Yeah, but that's after it's all over, after he's about 20 years old and messing up real bad. But no matter how much pain she goes through, when you bring him or her to you, you just hold them and love them and look at them. But Jabez's mother had gone through some pain, so she named him after that. And theologians said it was probably because of the pain that she endured during the birth, or because she was looking at the condition of the world in which they lived and how much pain it was going to be. So to overcome the stigma of his name and perhaps the suffering of his mother and his family, Jabez learned how to pray. He prayed so much that he became known as a man of prayer. And his prayer life set him apart as being honorable and distinguished him for more than it distinguished his brothers. Look at the boldness of this prayer. He says, Lord, enlarge my territory. I appreciate what you've given me, Lord, but enlarge my territory. See, some of us are so hung up on, I'm not supposed to ask God to bless me unless I think it's going to do everybody. No, bless me. Bless me. See, We need to get personal with God. Yeah, I know he died for everybody else. But when you take everybody else out and put them one at a time, did he still die for you? Yes, he did. So you can ask him, God, bless me. Bless me. Enlarge my territory. Make my territory greater than what it is. God, bless me. Blessing by asking. If you don't open your mouth and talk to him, God won't bless you. You got to have a relationship with him to talk to him. You have to know him so well that you know what he'll bless you with. Because when God needs to enlarge your territory, he will prepare you for you to handle the enlargement of your territory. If you're not equipped to handle it, God will not grant it to you. But when you can handle it, God will. He'll bless you. How do I know? He blessed me. And I don't know about nobody else, but some of you that's been here with me long enough to know that they diagnosed me as diabetic 15 or 20 years ago. And I wouldn't receive it in my spirit. I said, I'm not diabetic. I'm going to take your medication and I'm going to do like you said, but I'm not diabetic. I live that and I took the medicine and I get checked my blood sugar every morning, kind of halfway watch what I eat, but I'm constantly talking to God. I pray. I depended on prayer more than I did my diet and my exercise and taking my medicine. I depended on prayer. And I've told you this before and I'm going to tell you again, because some of you need to hear and know that God is still blessing people. Yes, I see my wife sitting over there smiling because I eat banana pudding right on. But I ask God to bless me, and God bless me. And when God bless me, the banana pudding that he make can't hurt me, because he's given me sense to know how not to eat it. God will bless you. As of January the 2nd, 2012, I took my last diabetic medicine because God blessed me. I ask him to bless me. And I ask him to bless me. But I didn't stop praying. I just kept right on praying. And you know what? I'm still praying. I'm praying that God will bless me. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Don't let evil come near me. I stopped to tell you, you got to ask God. God will. God will provide. God will. But you got to line yourself up. Line yourself up in his word. Jabez didn't have everything that he needed. That's why he had to ask God to enlarge my territory. Strengthen me and give me the wisdom to understand. And I told you before, the last 8 words in it, I love them. Because it said, and God granted that which he requested. Jabez requested what he wanted for God. But you heard me read that his prayer life was a strong prayer life. You got to pray when things are going well. You got to pray when things are going bad. I can't stop by to tell you, you just got to pray all the time. Some of you are still living on mama's and grandmama's prayers. You need to pray for yourself. Yes, it's wonderful that they pray for you, but you got to pray for yourself. If Jabez's mama would have not been praying for him all along, yeah, he wouldn't have known how to pray. Listen, mamas, daddies, you teach your children by the lifestyle that you live. You teach them. If you think that they don't know when things are going bad in the family, you're mistaken. And then they see all of a sudden things turn around and start going well. Somebody been praying. Somebody been talking to a God that can answer prayer. I thank you, Lord. He prayed and God blessed him. God enlarged his territory and his holding. For God to be with him, he prayed for God to be with him, and he lifted up his hand to help him. For God to keep him from evil, from all the trouble, the harm, and the pain. Listen, if you don't pray that God will keep evil from around you, you need to start praying, because you've been living on somebody else's prayer. You can only go so far on somebody else's prayer. Then you got to learn how to pray for yourself. Because nobody knows your personal situation like you know them. That's why you can talk to God for yourself. You don't have to come to the pastor if you need to pray and talk to God. You can go for yourself. You can knock on the door of heaven. You can ask, you can seek, and you can knock. And I promise you that God will hear and answer your prayer, because he said he would. And that's not a prayer that have been prayed that was from the sincere heart of a believer that God have not already answered. If he haven't answered it, you need to check yourself. Don't look at God, because he is a prayer answering God. He will answer all of your prayer. When we face pain or suffering or difficulties or trouble, we must learn to cry out to God for help. For the Lord promised to hear our prayer and to help us through pain, suffering, and trouble. No matter what we may face, God promised to help us. There are only two reasons why we fail to receive the help that we're looking for. Number one, we simply neglect to ask. Number two, we are failing to live an obedient life before God. If we sin, the Lord will not hear us. What you mean, Baggett? If your lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin, doesn't say you won't mess up every now and then, but it does not become your lifestyle. The only person that lived perfect down here on the earth was the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So you are not going to do it, but you can live as close to him as you want. Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you. You remember Moses, don't you? When he went up on top of the mountain and he stayed up there and stayed in the presence of God. And when he come down and walking around, he had to put a veil on his face so the glory of him would not shine through. If you talk with God a lot, God will stop by to see you, and you will reflect the glory of God in your life. I just kept looking for this morning when Minister Allen was singing, I feel like running. I looked for him. I kept expecting him to run down the aisle. But after a while, by and by, he got some little stuff that inhibits him from running. But God gonna fix you, because you done asked him to let you run. And God will provide just what you need. You can only shut him down for so long. You'll be like Deacon Jones the other morning when he was standing up here singing. I didn't even see it. And my wife said, did you see Deacon Jones when he did that little shuffle going back? He wouldn't have never done that a year and a half ago. But he asked God to fix his knees. God will stop by to see about you. If you don't want him to do it, don't ask him. God will, and you can finish it with whatever you need. God will. Bless me, Lord. Prayer to Jabez. He asked God to bless him. And then he was willing to let God use him. You got to be willing to let God use you when you ask him to bless you. Point number two. Hand me a bottle of that water over there. Please, sir. Getting cotton mouth. I'm going to learn one of these days not to do it, and I'll probably be in a box. Point number two. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 26. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched him in the hollow in his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go, except thou bless me." See, we don't think. Come here. Now, don't y'all mistake this. We gonna wrestle. We gonna wrestle. Now, the point that I'm making is that we can't wrestle unless we get up close and personal. You got to touch him. You got to feel him. But now, see, as long as he kept and I kept running, see, that's the way it is with God. God want to wrestle with some of us, but we keep running. We keep dodging him. We keep getting out of the way. Jacob had been running all of his life from God. God even met him at Bethel when he was leaving, when he had cheated his brother. He met him there, and he prayed, and he saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending from heaven, but he still kept right on running. My question to you is, are you running? Whatever the problem, prayer is the answer to solve the problem. Prayer is the first thing that we should do, but it's normally the last thing we do. Prayer will help to either solve our problem, or it will strengthen us to walk through the problem. See, sometimes, I keep saying this, y'all, I just believe God got a sense of humor. He said, "Well, if I just take this away from this joker, he gonna do it again. But if I let him go through it, let him have to walk through this suffering. Don't remove the pain. Let the pain be there. It's gonna leave, but you gotta walk through it for 7 or 8 years. The same pain, the same way, and you keep talking to God." All God's waiting on you to do is stop walking away from him and start walking towards him. And when you get to him, wrestle with him. Wrestle with him. When you wrestle with God, ain't but one way to wrestle with him, and that's in prayer. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have gone to bed at night, put your head on the pillow, you be so tired, you can't, but you still can't go to sleep. You got this situation or this circumstances in your life, and yes, sir, you can't go to sleep. That's God wanting to wrestle with you. If you just get up and say, "Okay, God, here I am." So what is it that you want? What you want with me? See, you got to talk to God like you know him. If you're scared of him, you can't talk to him. See, you got to know him for yourself. And if you know him for yourself, God knows, he knows you. He knows what to expect from each one of us. And when it's your time to wrestle with God, he'll get you where you're by yourself.
All right.
Because I said, God don't want to embarrass you too bad. Don't want to embarrass you in front of everybody else. But when it's just you and God, all by yourself, In my notes, I got something highlighted here, and it says, talk to him about Jacob. Jacob was the youngest of a twin. And the Bible says that when they were birthed, his brother's name was Esau. Uh-huh. It said when Esau came out of his mother's womb, said Jacob had hold to his heel, trying to pull him back and not let him be first. Been after something before he got here. And the Bible says over in Ephesians somewhere, she said, it's like two nations inside the womb warring. They were fighting in the womb. And I just believe Jacob was, Esau was a ruddy man, but Jacob was a trickster. And listen, don't y'all think too hard of Jacob. There's some tricks in every one of us. Every one of us. And if you think you don't have some tricksters in your family, you just wait till you have a family reunion or somebody dies. You'll find out you got them in your family too. And so they're all there. Jacob wasn't reared up around this trickster that he went. He went to his mother's people and found out there was a trickster there that was a better trickster than he was.
Amen.
So the message in that for you with your family. Don't care how slick you think you are. There's somebody that got your number. Somebody in your own personal family that can out-trick you.
Well.
No, y'all don't have to tell them I said that.
Amen.
Jacob found the trickster. He went there and fell in love with one of the daughters, Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel. But he was so much in love with Rachel that he forgot about being a trickster. See, when you're a trickster, you can't ever forget that. It's just like in the old West, whenever you were a gunslinger, no matter how fast you were, there's somebody around the corner a little bit faster.
Yes, sir.
And so he forgot that there was another trickster because he was so much in love. The trickster was not in love. The trickster was scheming and conniving. Mm-hmm. Jacob just knew he was going to be marrying Rachel. Mm-hmm. And he found out after the first night he was married to Leah. Uh-huh. He had been tricked.
Yes, sir.
He had been tricked. See, no matter how good you think you are, somebody is better at what you're doing than you. I don't want to dip in nobody's business. So, but then he ended up working 14 years. If you're going to ask me yes, I would. Love does some strange things. And the same way, if you love God, you'll work for God when people don't want to let you do anything.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Bishop Jake talk about himself and his church when he was growing up. So he was licensed to preach at his own church, at his home church, and he didn't preach there for 7 years. So all the pastor, every time the pastor did a baptism, he would tell him, said, clean out the pool. He said, I cleaned out the pool. He said, I did everything he told me to do. And he said, no, I did not get to preach. I cleaned the pool every time. He said, I was there all the time. See, God will take you through some stuff. You need to go through some stuff for God to prove that you love him. You're gonna have to prove it. That's why sometimes you get overlooked. To see what you're gonna do. What, you gonna get your Bible and go home? They know I can sing and they don't ever ask me to do a solo. They always bring in soloists. These two guys sitting up here and they ain't preached in the last 2 months. Are they going to keep coming? They better. They want the blessings of God. But now you know what they're doing? If they don't do anything else, they pray for me. And anything I ask them to do, they do it. They do it. There's a blessing in that. You got to go through. You got to appreciate where you're trying to get to. before you get there. And if you let God bless you, if you talk to him and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's what Jacob told the angels, said, you got to bless me. But you're going to bless me before I let you go. What's your name? No. Bless me. Bless me. Until the day Jews will not eat the hip of an animal. Because of the sinews in there of Jacob was messed up. And it says in the Bible, when he left there walking that morning, he left with a limp. Didn't walk the same anymore. God does that to you. God gives you a limp. He gave Jacob a limp. Jacob couldn't run anymore. All he had to do was just walk for God. See, I keep telling y'all, when you walk with God, he got a chance to talk to you. Jacob was so busy running, God couldn't catch up with him and do what he needed for him to do. So every now and then, he have to come along and put you with a little giddy up, with a little limp in your step, where you can't go like you used to go. But God will fix it. So then you can stand and you can talk to him. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And if you talk to God just like you love him, he will stop to see about you. He'll bless you. Jacob, you might have a limp, but you're blessed of God. You might have a limp, but you're blessed of God. If God bless you, you are blessed indeed. If God bless you, can't nobody else unbless you. Change his name from Jacob to Israel meant that I have wrestled with God and seen his face, and yet I live. God's all right, y'all. God will stop to see about you, and he will bless you. But you got to know him for yourself. Jacob was so busy seeing that everything was in order. When he sent everybody away and he got alone with God. See, some of us, we got too many people around us.
Well,
some of them are blessing stoppers. They hinder you, they stop you from being blessed. Because they have more impression, a greater impression on you than God. Because you listen to them. And God doesn't speak in a real loud voice. It's real soft. Because I heard Deacon Jones was giving credit for saying this. You don't want God to holler at you. Because if God hollers at you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, but when he whispers, you can hear him, because the whisper of God is louder than any voice that you'll ever hear, because you can hear him deep down in your soul.
All right.
Jacob was in deep agony of his soul, and he began to pour out his soul to God. It's one thing about it, when you start studying God's word, God will send you somewhere else that you don't think you need to go. Turn to Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. He's talking about Jacob here. And listen to this. It says that, yea, he had power over the angel and prevail. He wept and made supplications unto him. He found him at Bethel, and there he spake with us. When you read this and study this, it's talking about Jacob when he's talking to God. Hosea lets us know that Jacob wasn't just wrestling without talking. He was wrestling and he was weeping and he was sore and he was pouring out his heart to God. See, when you wrestle with God, it's not a physical wrestle, it's a spiritual wrestling. And see, you can talk to God and God will provide just what you need. When you're distressed and you're talking with God, you get so near to him, but you're not there. You can talk to God and you can be wrestling with him and he yet won't answer because there's something in you that needs to come out of you. Jacob had sin in him that he had not confessed to God. The Bible doesn't tell us what his confession was, but when he wrestled with the angel that night, when he left there, God had blessed him. All before, God had not put his real blessing on him. And I stopped by to tell you, it wasn't a material blessing. It was the blessing that inherited the coming of the Son of Jesus the Christ. He blessed him so he could fix him, that he could stand in one place and listen to the word of God. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Right. See, every now and then, when you fix for your family to eat, sometimes you need to turn your own plate down and let them eat, and you need to walk away from it. God will provide. Sometimes he can't provide for us because we won't let him. When you turn the plate down, you're telling God, God, I need to talk to you more than I need to feed my belly. God, you will provide just what you need. I told you this before. You can go in your closet, close your door, and talk to God. You can stay there so long that you won't have time to eat, won't feel hungry because you are eating the word of God. The word said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if he's bread, he can provide just what you need. Have you ever told God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me? Well, if you have not told him, you need to get along with him and tell him that. Don't tell him that trying to make him do something for you. Tell him that because you have a need that only God can supply. God will bless you, but you got to wrestle with him a little while. I never understood that about him until I got to know him. He wants you to mean just what you're saying. He wants you to know that he means what he says. When God bless you, can't nobody take the blessing off of you. When people go to voodoo people, they get the voodoo put on them and they get it taken off of them. When God bless me, you can't bother it. You can't take it off and you can't put it on. God done bless me and you can't do anything about it. He blessed me once. He blessed me twice. He blessed me all of my life. I'm following God because he blessed me. I told him, if you get me out of this, I'll do just what you said. And it was just like I stepped out because the load was lightened. It helps you to remember what you said or what you promised God, because God will not forget. You got to promise God. You got to do some things for God, because God will do some things for you. No, you can't pay him back, but you sure can bless him, because he bless you. You can tell somebody else about the goodness of God. Sometimes when I stand up and I talk about taking me off that diabetic medicine, I said, people going to get tired of hearing it. And then God put in my spirit, or do you want me to bring it back? And I said, no, I'll tell them. I'll tell them. I'll tell them, because you bless me. I ask you to bless me, and you bless me. I made a request, and you granted my request. Jacob wrestled with that angel. When he left there, he went to his brother. He was in distress. He had done his brother wrong. And his brother was a warrior man. And then when his servants come back and told him, said, I met the Lord Esau over there. But he got 400 men with him. Mm-hmm. Not 100, four. 400 men with him. And he's coming. Now, try to be Jacob. Try to be Jacob. Knowing he's coming with 400 men and knowing what you have done to him. Mm-hmm. See, that's why you need to ask God to bless you. Because see, while Jacob was over there wrestling with the angel, God had already worked on him. Yeah. That problem that you're worrying about, give it to God. Give it to Him. Give it to Him and leave it there. And when you get to where the problem is, God have solved the problem.
Yes, sir.
But you got to give it to Him. You can't put it down and come back and get it.
Well,
you got to leave it there. And when some of the rest of us mention the problem to you, say, I'm giving that to God. And just walk on off. See, we don't know how to walk away from stuff. We don't know how to walk away from stuff. Especially if I think it's good. We don't know how to walk away from it. I like that. God said, leave it there. I like it. Y'all hear me talk about eating that banana pudding? God fixed me. God fixed me. So now I lay you odds with most of you. When I talk about eating that banana pudding, I believe most of y'all are eating it with me. I believe y'all eating it with me. Because you get right in there with me. And especially if I describe, I get one of them 16-ounce red cups. One of them 16-ounce red cups. And fill it up with banana pudding. And go somewhere and take me a seat and have me one of them white plastic spoons. And dip it down in there. Turn it around and make sure it's in there. And listen. What I do sometimes, I turn the spoon over in my mouth. And I pull it out with my tongue inside that. Doesn't it taste good? Aren't y'all eating it with me now? See, that's the way God. I just ate that banana pudding. I don't have to have it anymore. Because God done fixed me where He got it up here. And I gave it to Him. I can eat just a little bit of it, and it does me all the good that there is. Wherein before, I used to didn't eat one bowl. I'd eat bowls.
All right.
But see, I gave it to Him. And He fixed me. I'm full now, y'all. You can eat this word just like you do banana pudding or whatever your favorite dish is. You can eat this word just like that. And this word will fill you up. And the major difference between eating what you like and this word will not give you diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, or nothing. If it does anything, it will take it away. Because it will give you a peace that you cannot surpass. If you wrestle with God, mm-hmm, as a church, as a nation, or as a body of believers, a whole lot more of the bad laws, the bad situations would disappear. The church does not realize the offensive weapon that we have in prayer. Prayer is an offensive weapon. It's not defensive. It's offensive. It scores. It gets things done. It doesn't stop anybody, but it helps you to score. It helps you to take things out of your life. If the church would use that weapon, there's not anything that God would not provide for us. But we look for our prayer to be just like our instant coffee. 2 minutes and 30 seconds. That's it. I want to drink coffee. In 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Instead of letting it take me 5, 10, or 15 minutes. And we're the same way with our prayers. Best prayer, 2.5 to 3 minutes. Don't go 5. And you better not mention 10. And don't mention an hour. Uh-huh. Yeah. You need to get there sometime and stay with God hour on end. And when you're talking to somebody that you're in love with, you don't ever get tired of them. My wife, y'all do know that's her sitting right over there. We be at the house, she be sitting there reading, and she doesn't know this, so don't y'all tell her. She be sitting there reading her Bible sometime on the couch, and I'll be over there in the recliner. When I wake up, I expect to see her over there reading. And just her being there is a comfort. And I can tell you why. And don't y'all tell her. I'm in love with her. I'm in love with her. Listen to me. And it should be the same way with you and God. If I'm not talking to him, just the idea that he's present, he's there with me, it's a satisfaction because I'm in love with him. And because I love him, I just love being in his presence. Now, I won't get myself in trouble. I think I know how she feels the same way about me, but it really doesn't matter. It does not matter. It matters to her how she feel about me. I know how she feel about me. I know. Just like God knows how I feel about him. And God knows. That's why he put up with some of us. He knows that we're in love with him, but we don't know it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some of us don't know that we're in love with God. We don't know that we're in love with God because we haven't had that real funny feeling way down deep in our stomach. And we haven't had days when we couldn't eat. If days when I couldn't eat mean I had to love him because I didn't eat, my mind must be the other way around. I love him. I eat because I do love him. But my point is that you can be in his presence and you don't have to say anything. I used to have a sign in my office that says, "Silence is golden when it's between friends." And she is my friend. And God is my friend. God is my bestest friend. Bestest. And I know bestest, but he's my bestest with the EST on the end of it. And I know Sister Ferguson, that might not be grammatically correct, but it's spiritually correct. He is my bestest friend. He's better than anybody else I know that's my friend.
Goodest friend I got.
Point number three. Exodus chapter 33, verses 15 through 23. And I'm going to read part of this for you. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Now, you got that there, and you can go back and read that. But here, this is Moses. Point number three, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Wanna see something about you, God, so I can know it. Moses was a man that was a friend of God who had been in God's presence quite a number of times. But this time when he went to see God up on the mountain to see God, God told him that you and the children of Israel, I will not go with you. You're gonna have to go on by yourself. Here Moses is telling him, "God, I won't go. unless you go with me. See, sometimes when you and someone are the bestest of friends, you can demand things of your bestest of friends because they value your friendship too. God values you. We fail to realize how valuable we are to God. We are souls that he created, and he values it because we are part of him. He told Moses, God said, I'm not going. I'm not going with you. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, we don't go. Because if you don't go, we're misrepresenting. We don't have any help. Moses realized that all of his help come from the Lord. Moses realized that we are where we are. Where I am, you brought me. What I know, Moses was singing this song. God, you brought me this far. And if you don't go, I won't go. Then this God tell Moses that. Somewhere along this, one of these times he told him, said, Moses said, these people have sinned so bad. I'm going to wipe them all out and start a new nation with you. Moses, in other words, told God, said, God, you can't do that. Now, I know some of you religious people saying, well, how can you tell God what he can't do? Because Moses knew his word. Moses knew he was representing God. All those people that you have, that know that you brought us out here, they know that we are here because you brought us out, because of the 10 plagues that you had in Egypt, because of you killing Pharaoh, all of his men that was crossing the Red Sea, and you got us out here now, and you're going to kill us all. Come on, God, what are they going to think of you? Listen, when you know your case, when you stand up and you can state your case before a living God, in the presence of Almighty God.
Yes.
God, this is Moses could say, God, this is your servant. You watched over me. I can just hear Moses saying, when I was born in my daddy's house, there was a law that all male children that were going to be born were killed. Uh-huh. And he said, God said, you had them to hide me. You had them to pitch a little boat, and they pitched an ark, and they put me in the ark, and put me in a river where alligators and all snakes were, and you had them to put me in a river, and nothing happened to me. But they come along, and they got me out. God, do you remember that? God, you brought me this far, and then you had me in a brave rage in Pharaoh's house, and you kept me there for a long time, and now I'm out here, I'm leading your people, and God, you kept me in the wilderness. You had me walking out there with just me and a cane, but you kept me all that time. Now, God, you gonna leave me now? See, you got to press your case. You got to press your case. You got to present your case to a justified, an almighty God, a holy God. Moses presented his case to God, and God heard him. He said, Moses, I'll go with them, but just for your sake, I'll go with him. And then I think Moses got beside himself. He said, Lord, show me your glory. I want to look at you. I want to see you. I want to see what you look like. There's some things that just can't be. Moses, you can't see me, because if you see my face, you will die. He said, Moses, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in a cleft over there by two rocks, and when I pass by, I'll put my hand in front of your face, and when I get a distance in front of you, you can see my backside, but you can't see my face. I thought about this, y'all. That just got to be a big God when he can take his hand and put it over and it covers a whole man in a cleft and he can't see him. Oh, good God. God is an awesome God. Told Moses, said, if you go, I'll go with you. Moses had encouraged God to not to leave him. This tells me, Baggett, if you think God's going to leave you, you can get so close to him that he can't leave you, because if he leave you, it'll be just like he's leaving himself. God will provide just what you need. God, show me your glory. God, show me your glory. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You got to bless me. Yes, bless me, Lord. God will provide just what you need. Moses had God to go with them, wouldn't leave until God promised him. God will answer your prayer. All you got to do is have a personal relationship with God. The church need to pray. Pray, pray. Intercessory prayer is a major factor in life.
Yes, sir.
In my closing, prayer is an IBM, International Ballistic Missile. It is directed by the Almighty and gracious Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
In Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in jail, the church went in prayer. International Ballistic Missile. It is directed toward sin and wrongdoing. You can't just aim a heat-sensitive missile at anything. You have to know where you are aiming the missile. And it's heat-sensitive, and it is directed, and it will go directly towards whatever you're aiming at. That's why when you pray and you talk to God, you need to direct it at something specific, not just in general. That's why a lot of the time when some of us that go hunting, we use a shotgun, not a rifle. When you use a rifle, you got one chance. When you use a shotgun, if you got a buckshot, sometimes you got 9 different slugs going out at one deer. But if you got a rifle, you aiming it at one specific deer. Same way with a shotgun. But a shotgun will mess him up a whole lot worse than a rifle. Yeah, a lot of us pray shotgun prayers instead of rifle prayers. You need to pray rifle prayers. And I lay you odds, most of us when we're praying and we're in our closet by ourselves at home, we shoot a high power rifle with one shot. We call it just like it is, tell God just like it is, and I'm almost sure that's why some of us don't pray in public. Because we rifle prayer. I mean you got one shot and you aim it directly at what you're hitting. You aim it at. When they shoot those high power rifles, they horn in on the heart of the deer, not the legs or the head. They aim at where the heart is. That's why if you got to have a misbehaving child, you need to aim your prayer at that child. Amen. If you want the child to grow in the Lord, you need to aim it at growth in the Lord and put them in places and things that they will help them grow. Most of us, shotgunning. And we don't use double-aught bucks. We use just a number 6 or a number 8. That's just little BBs and it scatters. A number 6 shot in a shotgun is just like BBs. But if it's a buckshot, double-aught, they got slugs in them about the size of the end of your finger. And they are meant to kill. We need to rifle, high-power rifle our prayers. Go back to something else I've said in this message, that if the church would get in prayer and stay in prayer with laws, government officials, rules, our own families, if we'd have our eye for prayer for them, it would bring them in. But now, to get the answer to prayer, it's not just saying it one time. You got to pray. And you got to wrestle with God. You got to wrestle with God. Y'all remember what I did here with Deacon Brunson? You can't run away from him. You got to stay and wait on him to get there to you so you can get up close and personal. All right. Most of us don't want to wrestle with God. We want to spy with him, you know, stand back. We don't want to get up close and personal. But you have to. You have to. If you are going to get answers for prayer, if you're going to be blessed by asking, most of us don't want to ask God for what we need. We want to generalize in that too. Bless me. With what? How? If you're looking for a job, specify the job.
Amen.
Specify whatever you're looking for. Bless me with a car. You get a car, 1950-something Ford Falcon. Most of you don't even know what that is, and it won't run. Doesn't have tires on it, but you got the car. When you want it, a convertible, red convertible Mustang, 2012. Oh, Brother Whitney only wants a Cadillac. Nobody else wants a Cadillac. But what I'm saying, you need to specialize. Tell God what you want. Tell him. Tell him what you want, and he'll bless you. And you can be blessed by asking. If you don't ask, don't expect him to bless you. Yeah, but he's God. He knows everything. Sure. I'm going to let you go. One other thing here. You remember Jesus and Lazarus?
Mm-hmm.
When he went to the tomb?
Yes, sir.
He called out specifically who he wanted.
Yes.
Lazarus, come forth. Didn't nobody else come forth but Lazarus? Whatever situations in your life, call it, name it out, and call it, and God will grant it. But now, remember some of those other things I said, and if sin's in your life, you got to straighten it up. Straighten your life up. God will bless you. We can be blessed by asking. Amen. Will you stand? If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Or if you have already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to make this your church home, this is your church. This is your time. Come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to change a thing. If you come to him and you specifically ask him for what you want, he will grant that. He will save you. He will save you. He's the only one that can. I can't. I can lead you to him. But I can't save you. We need to come to God. Just as we are. Don't change it. Don't change. Just come. Trust him to fix you. He can fix you better than you can. If you wait till you get ready, you won't come. You have to come the way you are, where you are, while you have time. Will you come?